The Lancashire Witch Trials of 1612, that saw 12 people accused of witchcraft, has, throughout the ages, continued to fascinate people from all around the world. Many books have been written about the now infamous Pendle Witches, but none so relevant as the one written by a man called Thomas Potts, the clerk to the court at the Lancaster Assizes where the trials took place back on the 18th and 19th of August 1612. Now his book, The Wonderful Discovery of Witches in the County of Lancaster, is quite extraordinary in detail as it outlines what took place all those years ago. It takes into account the complete story of not just the Pendle Witches, but also those known as the Salisbury Witches, which saw in total 20 men and women being accused of witchcraft, with 11 being found guilty and subsequently hanged, and one being sentenced to stand in a pillory. The other 7 were eventually acquitted. But it isn't just the Pendle Witches or the Salisbury Witches that have perked our interest for our next story. Instead, we are going to take a step back into 1705 and into the small village of Woodplumpton that is situated in the city of Preston in Lancashire. Within the small graveyard of St Anne's Church, there is a large boulder that can be found alongside a path which seems to be completely out of character amongst the old headstones and that of the 13th century church. And alongside this boulder is a small plaque with an inscribed message that simply reads, "The Witch's Grave. Beneath this stone lie the remains of Meg Shelton, alleged witch of Woodplumpton, buried in 1705. Marjorie Hilton, or Meg Shelton, also the Filed Witch, as she was and is still known as, was by all accounts a loner. Now she would prefer to be in her own company rather than mix with the locals of the villages, and she was often looked down upon as a figure of fun. Surviving mainly on haggis, which was in common use at the time in Fylde, it was made from boiled groats and herbs such as thyme and parsley. Now Meg was a poor woman, a beggar by all accounts, and she was known for her shape-shifting abilities, which, if stories are to be believed, allowed her to change into all manner of things, ranging from animals and various kinds of inanimate objects. It's unclear as to where Meg had lived, as many stories will say that she had lived in a small cottage in the village of Singleton, whereas others will say she lived in nearby Catforth, less than an hour's walk away from Woodplumpton. However, one story that we have uncovered is that of Mrs. Margaret Parr, who was a native of Catforth and who lived until the age of 91. She was the daughter of a farmer and who lived her whole life working on the farm and was a familiar figure often seen with her horse and cart travelling between Catforth and Elswick. She would tell the stories of how the corn laws had affected her family, as well as stories of the Lancashire martyrs. But one thing that she found hard to deal with during her life in the late 1600s was the difficulty in practicing her religion as a Catholic. But more interestingly, she would on many occasions recall living close to Meg Shelton, which, as already mentioned, was in Catforth. But no matter where she lived, the stories of Meg Shelton all agree on one thing. She was a lady who would cause, it seems, plenty of mischief. Now we have to remember that Meg had lived all her life during turbulent times, when it seemed that trust and distrust between neighbours and of course strangers was still at an all-time high. The Pendle Witch Trials, which had occurred many, many years beforehand, had left a devastating mark on the land, and in particular the north of England. And talk of witchcraft was still very much prominent, perhaps more so in the close-knit communities. And for people like Meg, who would often be treated like an outcast, life was at times extremely harsh and brutal. Meg, for all matters and purposes, was indeed a hag, in that it seems she was described as being an ugly, old lady with an evil look about her. She had lived in a rented cottage called Cuckoo Hall, which at the time was a place of poverty, or as a hovel, as one old newspaper in 1889 had reported, and her neighbours even regarded her with dread. The stories of Meg seemed to range from the silly to absolutely outrageous, and to make matters worse for Meg, she had suffered from a pronounced limp, which marked her out for even more ridicule and mockery than most. Now it was said that the story surrounding her limp was because she had made a bet with the Lord of Cottam, Squire William Haydock, telling him she could produce a hare on command, which could outrun his dogs on his estate in Woodplumpton, near to Cottam Hall, It was also said that the squire had bemoaned the lack of hares on his land, and that is how this bet came about. And as for the bet, it was a pretty simple one at that. If Meg won, the squire would provide her with a new cottage on his land in Woodplumpton. However, it's unclear what the consequences would have been if she had lost the bet. Also, one of the conditions of this bet was that the squire could not release a large and fierce dog that he had owned, with Meg telling him it was far too dangerous to do so. Now, as you can probably guess, the squire didn't honour this request, releasing his black hound, and in doing so, and after the hare had indeed made it to Meg's cottage first, the dog bit into the hind of its leg. Meg, not too long after, appeared at the door, seemingly limping, which she did for the rest of her life. Another story goes on to tell of how, when transformed into a rabbit, Meg was attacked by a black dog released by a farmer after he saw her, or the rabbit, running through one of his fields. His dog, just as in the story of William Haydock, attacked Meg just as she had made it into her cottage. Now, in the words of the Stonyhurst Buck Hunt, written in 1712 by Mr. Cottam of Herscreen, "The hounds uncoupled on the plain, a mortal war did straight proclaim." Perhaps the most telling story, though, is that of a hunter who released his hound after seeing her running through a forest. The hound caught her leg, snapping the bone, and in doing so it broke a spell, turning Meg back into human form. It was in human form that she caught the hound and proceeded to strangle it until life was extinct. She walked away lamely ever after and would become the target of all those who came into contact with her. Stories of how she would prank people are still spoken about to this day, and it seems that whenever any misfortune occurred in the neighbourhood during her lifetime, it would always be attributed to her. Farmers would complain of how their milk had turned sour, of their cattle being lame, and also some of their cows having been milked without their consent. One story goes on to tell of how Meg was met by a countryman while she was directing a goose in front of her. The path she was walking along was narrow, and the goose would not get out of the way of this man. So the man, who had a stick in his hand, he began to strike the goose, and to his amazement, the goose changed into a broken pitcher, with milk seemingly flowing from all sides. Had Meg Shelton stolen milk from a nearby farm and turned this pitcher into a goose? It seems an extraordinary tale, but this story is still talked about to this very day. For anyone who has heard the tales of Meg Shelton, and many have been passed down through the generations, then this next story will not come as a huge surprise. But to those still unacquainted with such tales, then they may find it slightly amusing. The story goes on to tell of how Meg had transformed herself into a sack of corn and hid inside a farmer's barn so she could steal some food. But unfortunately for Meg, the farmer was far too experienced, and he had noticed that he had one sack too many. Having heard the tales of Meg Shelton and how she could manipulate herself into an inanimate object, he began to prod at each of the sacks using a pitchfork. Making his way through each bag of corn, a loud shriek reverberated throughout the barn when he struck the bag in which Meg had transformed into. Returning to human form, Meg fled the scene, returning back to her little cottage at Cuckoo Hall. On another occasion, it seems Meg was foiled when, after a farmer suspected one of his cows had been bewitched, his daughter managed to talk Meg into the farm, and after seating her in the ingle nook or the recess of a fireplace, a bodkin crossed with two weaver's heels was placed on the floor next to her. Now, with this in place, Meg was powerless to escape. "Who shouldna shift nae farther? Two's ten or seen o' the coup," said the daughter as she heaped turf and wood on the fire till the flames roared fiercely up the chimney. Now, the heat grew more and more intense until Meg was nearly roasted. Her screams found no compassion until she removed the enchantment from the bewitched cow, and she was later allowed to leave the farm, albeit shoe cut from her ordeal. It was said that after this encounter with the farmer and his daughter, she could no longer live safely at Cuckoo Hall, and so this is why the bet with the Lord of Cottam had been made. Now, it is a strange thing to say, but when Meg finally went missing from her accustomed haunts and several days had passed without anyone seeing her, the door to her cottage was broken open. Poor Meg was found discovered crushed to death between a barrel and a wall, and it didn't take long for the gossips unanimously declaring that the devil had claimed back one of his own. And on the 2nd of May 1705, Meg's body was later buried by torchlight at the western end of the churchyard at Wood Plumpton, close to the end of the footpath. But it seems that the restless spirit of Meg was not going to lie peacefully. On one occasion, her body was found on the soil early one morning, and despite her body being reinterred, again it would reappear overnight. A priest would soon be called to lay her spirit to rest at Cotton Hall, and as for Meg Shelton, her body would be reinterred one last time. But this time she would be buried upside down, inside a narrow opening, and a large boulder placed over her grave, thus preventing her body from returning from the ground once again. Some locals had suggested that her body be turned upside down, so if she was to ever try to claw her way back out of the grave, she would only end up digging her way down towards hell. Such was the panic instilled on the people of Wood Plumpton. The story of Meg Shelton is an interesting one, and the one thing that clearly comes across is that, at the end of the day, she was just a poor woman struggling on her own through life. She may have been a little eccentric in her ways, and yes, she perhaps did steal milk, eggs, even the odd hen from local farms, just so she could survive. And it's interesting that, although she has over the centuries been labelled as a witch, it's extremely hard to find any stories of her actually casting spells or bringing ill health to anyone, unlike the stories of the Pendle witches. There are also some questions left unanswered, perhaps the obvious being why, if she was a witch, was she buried on consecrated ground? Another question I often ask myself is, why, if she could claw her way back out of the grave, would she just lay on the ground after successfully making her way out? Why would she hang around waiting for someone to see her? Now, of course, we have to take these stories of Meg digging her way out of the grave with a pinch of salt, and it's more than likely that her body was dug up by some unscrupulous local or locals simply to reinforce the story of Meg being a witch. But why? For this, we will never know. As for the cause of her death, well, we know she was an old lady, that's safe to say. And as she walked with a severe limp, which would have hindered her throughout her life, perhaps it's not out of the realms of possibility that somehow a barrel had been dislodged and she could not get out of the way quick enough, resulting in the barrel pinning her up against a wall. However, there is another variation of this story, and one that mentions poor Meg perhaps being murdered by a disgruntled farmer whom she had stolen from. She may have even been murdered by frightened locals, who then pinned her body up against the wall just to make it look like an accident, but again, we will never know the truth. For me, I think personally, Meg was a slightly crazy old lady who stood out amongst a crowd simply because of how she looked, how she walked, and how she behaved. And it was because of these things she had become hated by those she came into contact with, resulting in years of abuse and possibly torture at the hands of spiteful villagers. It is said that if you walk around the large boulder that still resides on the grounds of St Anne's Churchyard in Wood Plumpton, if you walk around it three times, reciting the words, "I don't believe in witches," the hand of Meg Shelton will appear from the ground below you, trying desperately to drag you down into the depths of hell. And if you also wish to do so, if you walk around the boulder three times, naming a wish, it will almost certainly be fulfilled. And if you look closely enough, you can see the footmarks on the ground where people have walked around over the centuries. So if you ever do visit the final resting place of the last of the Lancashire witches, why not try one or two, if not both, incantations if you dare? So I hope you like this story. This is one which is a local urban legend. It's one that I was brought up on throughout the years. But if you did like this story, if you know a little bit more about Meg Shelton, the Filed Witch, or the Last of the Lancashire Witches, comment down below and tell me what stories and what things were said to you as a child growing up. What tales did you hear of poor Meg? But in the meantime, as I always say, guys, take care, look after yourselves, and I will be back soon with another tale from the past.